from deep inside your radio.
You know, it's like the politician who was quoted as saying something disastrously politically incorrect and says, I'm not as racist as I sound. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not as congested. Well, I am, but I'm not as sick as I sound. Wow, this thing that's going around, it's really going around. She really sits around the house. This is bad. Take it from me. No, don't take it from me. Stay away from me. Don't be kissing. Don't be kissing on the lips, ladies and gentlemen. That's my advice to you this holiday season as it winds down. Don't be kissing on the lips New Year's Eve. Unless you plan to invest in a lot of antibiotics. The year comes to a close, ladies and gentlemen, and it is time to recognize the finest new word added to the English language by the radio industry this year. This is an annual award that we are giving this year for the first time. And this year's recipient is Michael Martin, obviously not his real name. He's the program director of KYSR right here in Southern California, whence this broadcast originates. And in announcing that he was firing some people and hiring some new ones, this is so weird for radio. Anyway, he says, quote, "This talent lineup will complete the sound, vibe, and stationality." Stationality, ladies and gentlemen. Never heard that one before. That is so good. We got stationality. Welcome to the stationality, won't you? You know, just wish I'd thought of it. Just wish I hadn't heard it and wish I'd thought of it. I don't know how those two mesh, but they do. You know, when you see advertising these days, you know that the claim is based on something that somebody told them, the advertisers, in a survey, in a focus group, in a poll, something. So this Christmas season, with the profusion of motion picture advertising, especially since they can't go on television, hey, we are on strike. It's a good thing I was sick, so I didn't have to use my sick days. There's been a profusion of ads for movies that say things like, "It revives your belief in the power of cinema," or "This reminds you why movies were great in the first place," or "reminds you of the magic of the movies." So somebody must have told somebody in some focus group, "I am so sick of the movies. Man, those movies suck." I guess. Otherwise, who lost what? Ladies and gentlemen, it's 5 years, almost. Well, 5 years since the run-up to the war in Iraq. And now, all of a sudden, this year, Newsweek says Pakistan is the most dangerous country in the world. And this quote from John Blackton, who was a U.S. official in Afghanistan. "The Taliban," he says, "are indeed a growing element of the domestic political stew in Pakistan. Pakistan must take drastic action against the Taliban in its midst, or we will face the prospect of a nuclear weapon falling into the hands of Al-Qaeda, a threat far more dangerous and real than Hussein's arsenal ever was." Unquote. 5 years too late, it would seem. But I don't want to lay too heavy on that. It might disrupt the stationality. This is the year in rebuke, ladies and gentlemen. Beginning with a meeting that followed an interview between two of the old lions of the news business who were sent to pasture this past year, when Dan Rather interviewed Ted Koppel. Another episode of High Def Dan listened in right afterwards on Hello, Welcome to the Year in Rebuke on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
So, brother couple, what's your pleasure? A cappuccino? Box of wine?
Well, I'm just thinking, brother, rather, that a couple of years ago we would have been meeting at, China Grill, Aquavit, the Four Seasons. Now it's in the vending machine room of a college in Pennsylvania.
And you know something, brother couple? Aside from the noticeable step down in the level of service, I prefer it this way. No former actor turned network presidents to kowtow to, no mouse to please.
Well, of course, but I'll have the box of wine.
All right, I got this. You were my guest.
No argument.
There you go, sir. The best Pinot Noir upstate New York has to offer in a box.
Thank you. So, Dan, that was a lovely interview. Well, that's a side of you we didn't see enough of.
Coming from you, sir, the preeminent interviewer since Torquemada bought the farm, that is a supreme compliment. But if I may put a ribbon on the pony, there were many sides of me you didn't see back there. You never did your Donald Duck imitation on Nightline, either.
No, sir, I did not. Mm-hmm. But I guess the whole contretemps about your description of your former broadcast as dumbed down and tarted up has blown over.
Let's put it this way, Hoss. It's been downgraded to a tropical depression.
Well, that's good.
You know, a decade ago I said that quote more often than a D.C. call girl changes sheets, but all of a sudden, because Sister Corrig is warming the chair until Fearless Leader has a second thought, all of a sudden I'm some kind of sexist.
Well, I think this is why the new breed of television news talent are such bad writers. It's not because they're dumb, although there is that, but they've just been trained by lawyers to avoid writing anything that doesn't have all the zing of a Zoloft.
Of course, don't get me wrong. Choosing Miss Kitty wasn't so much a Hail Mary pass as a help me Jesus punt. But you can't blame the girl for the cake she jumped out of.
I couldn't help thinking about what Barbara was thinking when Katie got the job.
Sister Walters?
The two and only. I mean, she's got to be thinking to herself, if I were 20 years younger, I'd be getting that gig instead of refereeing a catfight between the corpulent negress and the adipose friend of Sappho.
I suppose she would, although reality check here, brother couple. I don't think Miss Starr and Miss O'Donnell were on The View at the same time.
You have had some time on your hands since you stopped anchoring.
Can't spend all your hours doing high-definition reports. Speaking of which, profuse thanks for doing this interview tonight, cowpoke.
Well, I do wish we'd been able to wrangled a few more audience members into the corral, Daniel.
Theodore, the number of folks we had in that auditorium tonight guarantees I'll double my previous number.
Not a lot of viewers over on your channel? I mean, I don't get on Discovery all that often. Mm-hmm. They seem to run Shark Week every month now. But when I do, I have to tell you, the email trickle does become a tsunami.
Well, I hope you get food and water to the victims, brother couple. No, see, the all high-definition universe can be a cruel one, and not just because a soft-focused lens doesn't cut it in the presentability department any longer.
Well, your friend Brother Schieffer certainly put the knife in Sister Katie with a certain deftness.
Well, sir, he's peeing in his saddle if he thinks they're going to give the anchor chair back to him. Fearless Leader is certainly not going to go distaff one more time when Katie unbars the door, but he's going to go younger than a tadpole's meconium.
I'm sure that's true, Daniel, although I doubt the tadpoles have meconium, strictly speaking.
Mm-hmm. How's that wine treating you?
Best box I've had since I left ABC.
You know, I think Miss Katie is learning one of the iron laws of television. It's harder for Perky to go serious than vice versa.
Well, Ed Murrow didn't look all that believable when he was interviewing Sammy Davis Jr., did he?
No, sir. Been a while since I've seen that tape. Just saying that our friend entered the rodeo a little short of riding weight.
Daniel, this isn't just a matter of evil corporate despots. The fact is, our time is up. We've had a very long stay at the fair, but the party's over.
Yes, sir. They have indeed pricked our pretty balloons.
Yes, they have. Somebody new and stupid was bound to replace us. Who that particular individual turned out to be was just a matter of identity pass lottery, if you will.
Well, Brother Jennings ended up passing the torch to, well, not exactly one of
Brother
us.
Brother Gibson? Well, true, he's not there for his legs, but the whole point of the Enterprise has changed. Nightline's target attention span is now shorter than that of 60 minutes.
Well, never about attention span at 60.
No,
it's about four-star journalistic storytelling. Of course, that's before Brother Cooper, or should that be Sister?
Whatever it was about at 60, I'm very happy to be on a basic cable stud farm. It's a little elitist to be talking only to Lexus owners, but...
Well, at least you have enough viewers to get a sample. Our viewership is just about the size of a sample. Still, I've got full editorial control, so an audience just about the size of a high school graduating class is seeing some kick butt trying to rattle in journalism.
Not trying to the country.
No, sir, although we do have the budget for it if Brother Cuban really believes in the story.
Well, Sir Daniel, I don't want to be late for my train. If I miss it, I have to take the local. Thanks for the wine.
Oh, my pleasure, sir. Thank you for the deep think chit-chat tonight. My best to you and yours.
Same to you, brother, rather.
Well, the rain falls down without my help. I'm afraid and my lawn gets wet, though I've withheld my consent. When this gray world crumbles like a cake, I'll be hanging from the hoop that I'll never see that recipe again. As I walk, I think about a new way to walk. As I think, I'm using up the time left to think. And this train keeps rolling off the track, trying to act like something else, trying to go where it's been uninvited. It's not my birthday, it's not today, it's not my birthday, so why do you lunge out of me? When the word comes down, Nevermore will be around, though I wish we were there. I was less than we could bear, and I'm not the only dust my mother raised. So I'm rattling the bars around this drink tank. Discreetly I should pour through the keyhole or evaporate completely. But there'd be no percentage and there'd be no proof. And the sound upon the roof is only water. And the rain falls down without my help, I'm afraid. And my lawn gets wet, though I've withheld my consent. When this gray world crumbles like a cake, I'll be hanging from the hoop that I'll never see that recipe again. It's not my birthday, it's not today, it's not my birthday, so why do you lunge at me? When the word comes down, Nevermore will be around, though I wish you were there. I was less than we could bear, and I'm not the only dust my mother raised. I am not the only dust my mother raised.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer. Yes, it is me. I know it sounds strange. Believe me, you should hear how it sounds at this end. Welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, even though it's the year in rebuke, we must take time for news from outside the bubble. From the British newspaper The Telegraph. Benazir Bhutto was so fearful for her life that she tried to hire British and American security experts to protect her. But the plans collapsed because President Pervez Musharraf, Perv the Mush, refused to allow the foreign contractors to operate in Pakistan. What is this, Iraq or something? He was known... No, he didn't say that. Quote, she asked to bring in trained security personnel from abroad, said Mark Siegel, her U.S. representative. In fact, she and her husband repeatedly tried to get visas for such protection, but they were denied by the government of Pakistan. Ms. Bhutto's entourage discussed deals with the American Blackwater operation. Sources said she also had negotiations with a London-based group, the Armour Group, which guards U.K. diplomats in the Middle East. A Blackwater spokesman confirmed the negotiations. Ms. Bhutto contacted officials, diplomats, and friends in America, Europe, and the Gulf to urge General Musharraf to improve her security following the assassination attempt in October. U.S. diplomats took the highly unusual step of providing her directly with confidential U.S. intelligence about militant threats to her life. A U.S.-based Bhutto advisor, Hussein Haqqani, confirmed she wanted to use private international security contractors, but said that the Musharraf regime would not approve the plan. America, which has arranged for private contractors to guard the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, and leaders in Iraq, America was reluctant to press General Musharraf to change his mind. This was despite Washington seeing Ms. Bhutto as a linchpin in its crucial diplomatic attempt to encourage Pakistan to return to democracy. Some security industry analysts have suggested to the Telegraph there may be other reasons why the help of foreign security firms was not enlisted. Being surrounded by foreign bodyguards would have added to criticisms that Ms. Bhutto was in the pocket of the West, an accusation leveled at President Karzai and might have been not welcomed by her own staff. But the companies could have taken a back role as consultants and trained locals in bodyguard techniques to maintain a Pakistani face to her entourage. Quote, it's odd and disturbing that the Pakistan government did not do a better job of protecting her and that the U.S. apparently could not do more to persuade them, unquote, Bruce Riedel, a former CIA officer and former National Security Council director for South Asia. Quoting Riedel again, she made it very clear privately and publicly that she did not have enough security. I can't explain why the Bush administration didn't pressure Musharraf to do more. Her death, concludes Riedel, leaves the U.S. with a Pakistan policy that is completely bankrupt. Unquote. Well, the good news is the bankruptcy laws have been tightened. So, news, also from, I think this is from the Times of London. A company specializing in removing failed asylum seekers is approaching the government with plans to use specially adapted aircraft to deport hundreds of disruptive refugees. Asylum Airways, run by an Austrian aviation consultant with ties to British security firms, will operate aircraft for European countries which do not wish to use established airlines for the forced removal of asylum seekers. Well, this could work for our illegal immigration problem, too. The planes will have specially designed seats so that the, quote, passengers, unquote, can be strapped down and restrained by guards. Sounds like Southwest. No, it doesn't. Not yet. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And as we get to the new year, it's meet for us to remember, as everybody else is, some of the major events of the year. One of the major ones in the George W. Bush administration. Yes, he's still president. Mainly because the Democrats who run Congress can't count. He's a very relevant president at the moment. But he was struck hard earlier this year by the resignation of the man he called the architect, the man he called the boy genius, the man he called Turd Blossom, presidential advisor Karl Rove. It sparked a phone call, as we'll hear in this portion of the Year in Rebuke.
Relaxing Eagle.
Hey, 43. Nice time we had with you last weekend.
Yeah, I thought I looked into Cozy Soul. You know, I liked what I saw.
Cozy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your nickname for the new French president?
He liked it.
Yeah.
You know his nickname for me?
He gave you a...
Boosh. He called me Boosh. Mm. This is a Frenchman I can do business with. Of course, I'm not in business.
And let's be honest, Sprout, you couldn't do business with Americans, so...
You know, 4-1, I'm not really in the mood for... I'm not really in the mood for anything. I'm here in Crawford just...
Just trying to get in the mood for something. Problems at the ranch. You do know Boy Genius resigned this week?
Yes, I know that Carl pulled the ripcord.
Uh-huh.
Surely you saw that coming. Sixth year, lame duck, low poles. He knows he's only going to get his Medal of Freedom after he leaves, so...
Earth to Earth Dad, of course I saw it coming, but I didn't think it was coming here. I didn't think it was coming for me. I mean, I thought Carl wanted his last chopper ride out of Washington, D.C. to be in my chopper with me.
Well, in a way, this liberates you, 43. You've got 18 months to prove that all those people who called him Bush's brain were wrong. Of course, don't think you want to start out that 18 months by leaking that you're writing the Petraeus report.
41, that wasn't our leak. You know whose leak it was. You used to run it.
Republican National Committee?
CIA.
Suppose that makes sense. The company's still a little sensitive about having to take the fall for the war.
Well, if they didn't want to take the blame for bad intelligence, see, they shouldn't have let us feed it to ourselves in the first place. Well, and that first place is so strong, you don't need a second place. Besides, who did people think was going to write the Petraeus report? The man's a general, for gosh sakes. He doesn't have time to sit down and put days into composing a 14-15-page document.
Doesn't take days to do that.
It took me days back when I was...
Look, Sprout, it's August. People got nothing to talk about. Aside from the burp in the financial markets and the coal mine thing, nothing's going on. So they fill the papers with speculation about the Petraeus report. You don't need to be part of that.
Of course not. We know what the report's going to say for reasons better left off dead.
Mm-hmm.
But see, 41, this is exactly the kind of thing Carl used to put a stop to before he reached the starter's gun. Thinking on his resignation is still warm, and already we're losing what little message discipline we had left. And now Tony Snow's leaving.
Yeah, heard about that.
Yeah.
He's to make some real money for his kids, huh?
Yeah, guess so. Mm. I told him a couple of times, you want to make real money, go talk to Dick Cheney. But I guess he wants to do it in the so-called civilian sector. So there's another one off the boat, out the door and into the car.
Well, it happens to us all, 43. Every single two-term president has gone through something like this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know myself, of course. Maybe something to be grateful for, missing the long twilight of a two-term presidency.
Hey, I'm still on the line here.
No, I know. I'm just saying, there's a sort of yin and a yang in everything, as the Chinese like to say.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the Chinese, but I do know there's no yin in sin.
Suppose not.
Getting so bad, 41, I'm sitting here hoping Hurricane Dean hits Texas. So I can go out and lead the response. You know, that's not right.
No, I know, but it's an understanding.
I mean, I've already done hurricane response.
Mm-hmm.
How about a new challenge, you know? God forbid, a typhoon or a cyclone or something.
43, you got 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
You got the bully puppet. You got a rump group of Republicans in the Congress who will still take your calls. These are all gifts.
Why am I giving them as gifts?
Gifts to you. Use them. Don't return them. No, you didn't ask for advice, but there it was. Hope it helps.
You know what would help more?
What's that?
If the person on the other end of this phone was Carl. Nothing personal.
Never was.
Just to hear him, you know, one more time say, Mr. President, I don't think you want to do that. That's all I want, but... Gotta pull myself together. Got brush to clear. See, that's it right there. The magic has even gone out of clearing brush.
Well, all right, son. Know it's gonna all work out.
In the long twilight of my presidency.
Sometimes even twilights can be beautiful. Barr says hello.
Yeah. When?
When she sees people she knows. Take care of 43.
41.
multicolored microbus plowing over rugged terrain. We're jacking the radio, passing the afternoon train. Around the roses, she's shown us hyacinths and sage. Gold-plated garden tools, sun lamps, and it's all the rage. Stay low to the ground, or they'll sniff you out. You never know what you will find. When you go out of the blackness into the great big sky, super collider.
This is Le Show, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you. It's taking a moment from the year in rebuke, don't you know? From E.E. Times. That's not the lowercase poet. That's the Bible of the electronic engineering industry. High-def surprise, widespread consumer unhappiness with HD TVs. I'll read it for you. Fueled by rapidly declining average selling prices, an exploding supply of content, and a vigorous consumer appetite, growth in high-definition television sales continues to accelerate this holiday season. But beyond the robust growth, glitzy new high-end displays, and marketing frenzy lurks the dirty little secret of HDTV. An unsettling number of sets are returned to the retail outlets where they were purchased, as many as 2 in 10 during last holiday season. Industry insiders say there are many factors behind this phenomenon, including still maturing technology and consumer confusion. Many sets were returned last year by people who wanted to buy a large TV but didn't realize they were buying an HD TV, according to consultant James L. McKivy. They got it home, plugged it into their standard definition cable service, and were dissatisfied. Hey, I plug anything into my cable service, I'm dissatisfied. Quote, this year, return should be closer to 10% as an average because retailers have learned that they have to educate buyers before they leave the store, or the unit is going to come right back to them. Brian Burns, vice president at ESPN, said he continues to be shocked by the numbers of people who buy an HD TV set and never subscribe to an HD service. According to a recent study commissioned by ESPN, only 64% of homes with an HD TV have HD programming via broadcast or cable. 13% of people who own an HD set do not know if they receive an HD signal. Wonder what the percentage was for people who bought color sets. There is particular confusion in the United States in light of the looming transition from analog to digital in February of next year. Insiders said many people do not understand that HDTV is a subset of digital television. There clearly has to be some education that goes on here, says analyst Henry Choi. While industry insiders agreed that educating consumers would reduce the return rates on HDTVs, they cited the need for technology improvements as well. And he said consumers are often wowed by the performance of HDTVs displaying slow-moving, brightly colored video on the showroom floor. Those underwater shots. But are disappointed by the performance of the set when they get it at home. When you get home, you just don't see the same thing, said Choi. He blamed a host of issues. Hello, I'm your host of issues, including compression technologies used by cable and satellite providers that are trying to jam as many channels as possible into their bandwidth, as well as the capabilities of the TV sets themselves. Quote, both plasma and LCD still have deficiencies, said Choi. Joss Klippert, marketing director of NXP Semiconductors in Netherlands, said there's still too much standard definition content being upconverted to fit an HD TV screen. Further, there are still limitations on many HD screens in the market, resulting in issues such as motion blurring, where screen refresh rates are insufficient to keep up with the action of fast-paced sporting events. Combat the halo effect, as well as judder, ghosting, and other quality issues, TV manufacturers are rolling out expensive sets with higher refresh rates. Chip vendors, meanwhile, are pushing something called MEMC technologies to make the motion look smoother. Thank you. Hey, it's only something you're required to buy in order to keep watching television. Is the glass half full or half gone? Question that may occur when I read the Trades For You copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, obviously one of the major developments in this year was the surge, the strategy developed by General David Petraeus to flood the zone, particularly Baghdad, with more American troops. And as the year ends, General Petraeus has issued a statement pointing with pride to the surge, not mentioning the series of attacks by Turkey on Iraq. That's a nice touch. That's a stabilizing touch. But certainly, the one of the big turning points in the debate was the issuance, as noted in the earlier piece, of the Petraeus Report. And the question that was on many minds during the run-up to its release was, who was writing the Petraeus Report? This is the year in rebuke.
Okay. When did Snow say we had to have this ready?
I thought he said the report was being made public in mid-September.
Mid-September?
Yeah, but you know it has to go through all the layers.
I know it has to go through. Thanks, Sean. I've been a White House writer since you were still an intern at Newsmax. I'm just saying. So why are we the only people in this whole wing working in late August?
I'll tell you what I think, Mike. It's a punishment for being the only Jews for Jesus in the shop.
You know, you're probably right. If we were born three times, it still wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. So, where should we do lunch? Mess or the dining room?
It's only 10:15.
You're right. We should get to work. The Petraeus Report isn't going to write itself.
I'd pay it $50 if it would. It
probably wouldn't have changed for $100.
Okay. Petraeus Report. Okay, he's a general, so it should be snappy, short sentences, to the point, precise, military.
You were in the military?
I wrote sports roundups for American Forces Radio.
That so does not count.
Okay, shall I read off our other choices from the style menu? Ponderous and unreadable, bright and lively, viewing with alarm.
Fine, short sentences. I like. Fewer words to write before lunch.
Will you stop with the lunch? This is important.
I know, I'm focusing on important. So look, when thou go to the source, what does Petraeus say about the military side of the surge?
Okay, we're cooking. Got it right here on the secure server. Flocking amazing.
What's wrong?
Your password has expired.
Use mine, Lunchman39.
Okay. Welcome, Lunchman39.
See?
Here we go. He says, measured progress in certain areas on the military side of the equation.
Oh, please wake me up when it's over.
I'm done.
You're done. I'll tell you a word I've never written and I never will write. Equation. That word scared me in middle school and it still scares me.
Okay. Well, let's make it military but not scary.
You know, up wouldn't be bad either.
No.
How about good progress? Boss always likes saying that.
He says measured. Measured isn't good.
I measured the window before buying blinds. That was good.
Acceptable?
Acceptable progress?
Well, I mean, it's literally true. We're accepting it.
When do you ever reject progress?
You're making my point.
Ooh, that hurt. I say we turn on C-SPAN.
First time the amendment passed, but we...
That's C-SPAN, too.
There was a great deal...
Satellite thingy says C-SPAN.
The satellite thingy is wrong. That's tape of a senator. Two is senators.
Major interest groups that had a major stakeholders in the issue.
Okay, I'm bored enough to think about lunch.
Come on, what kind of progress are we reporting?
Okay. Welcome progress. Significant progress. Superior progress. Dynamic progress. Excellent progress.
There you go. I knew if we squeeze the grape hard enough, we'd get Manischewitz. Actually, though, significant is closer to the mark.
Yes, true.
Okay, moving along. Certain areas. Certain areas. That sounds limited.
Offer only available in certain areas.
Yeah, right. It sounds like a contest you can't get in on.
Or a lottery that doesn't operate in your state.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely small print talk.
Not open to residents of the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, or Guam.
5.7 APR for the first 6 months.
Requires 2-year service contract.
Yeah, okay. So, areas is good.
I like areas. Sounds spacious.
It sounds like we're familiar with the country. Mm-hmm. These things are happening in these areas. Right. It's very boots on the ground.
Right. Okay, so we're looking for a new description of the areas where we're making significant progress.
Whoa, somebody hit the focus button.
It's my pre-lunch spurt. So I'm guessing all areas would be wrong.
I'm going to mute this guy. It'd be great, but, you know, somebody in Rovetown would exit out. We'd just have to work one more weekend.
Okay, ixnay on the all hay. Major areas.
What's a major area?
It's like a big place.
Meaning all the progress is being made in the, what, cities?
Don't look at me, I'm just spitballing. Mm. Significant areas?
That's lazy spitballing.
Oh, suddenly you're a critic.
I can do proactive. Surprising progress.
We're back to progress? We were expecting progress.
We were surprised at how well our expectations were met.
The surprise could be surprisingly little.
Suddenly you're the critic.
I'm just saying.
$10 says you don't know the name of that senator.
I don't know the names of half the senators.
I mean that one. $20.
He's the one whose wife died in a plane crash.
You are so faking.
Convincing faking, though. Had you for a nano.
Pfft. Come on. We're so close to being done with this phrase.
I'm so close to ordering the chicken Caesar.
You know that's an aberration. The real Caesar has no chicken.
You're talking about the salad or the guy?
The salad. Chicken is a Californianism.
They did good.
Yeah.
Good areas. Sizable areas. Excellent areas. We didn't use excellent before. Here's its stirring comeback.
You're pitching.
Okay, sorry. Important areas.
Significant progress in important areas.
What?
It looks goofy.
Read it.
Today we can report significant progress in important areas.
I think it flows.
You said it blows?
I said it flows.
My mistake. Darn.
What happened?
I lost the whole sentence.
I am so at lunch.
No, look. It's not rocket science we're doing here.
You're right. We're talented writers.
That's right.
With deputy assistant to the president on each of our doors.
That's right.
This should be an easy morning's work.
Absolutely.
So we're failures.
No, it's just... Today we can report significant progress in key areas.
That is brilliant. How did you...
I was hitting the keys.
I tip my hat to the master. Mess in 10.
I'm there.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
20 businesses in Jiaxing City in China have signed a joint letter apologizing to the public for the pollution they have created. They also promised to improve their environmental records. Deadline's Columbus, Ohio. Skybus Airlines says maintenance problems on two of its planes have been taken care of and all flights are operating again. The low-fare carrier based in Columbus canceled 18 flights over the last 2 days. At least 1,000 holiday travelers were affected by the lack of service to destinations, including Milwaukee. Yeah, you want to go from Columbus to Milwaukee at this kind of year. The company offered refunds. This is terribly unfortunate, and the timing also is very unfortunate. I think people get used to travel disruptions, but nobody likes to see them around Christmas, said the spokesman for the company, apologizing to customers whose Christmas travel plans were ruined. I would only ask, why do you think they call it Skybus? They called it Sky Limo, I'd be surprised. Texas A&M apologized to Penn State after a student leader mocked Joe Paterno by telling a crowd that the 81-year-old Penn State coach needs, quote, a casket. David Hicks, the Australian who became the first person convicted at a U.S. war crimes trial since World War II, was freed from his Australian prison on Saturday. And on his way out, he issued a statement apologizing, according to his father, quote, for what he's supposed to have done and what people believe he's done, unquote. Hicks's gag order, imposed by the U.S. as a condition of getting out of Gitmo, expires in March. Japan's prime minister apologized this week to four people who contracted hepatitis C from tainted blood products and promised to enact legislation to compensate them. And retired Bishop Francis A. Quinn at the Church of San Rafael in San Rafael, California, apologized to the Miwok Indians for cruelties the church committed against them two centuries ago. Indians who were present seemed stunned, apparently, at the alacrity of the apology. The apology of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And one of the main stories that flurried around the Clinton campaign earlier this year seems to have been forgotten. The story leaked out of the White House that the president was secretly consulting with some Democratic presidential candidates, including Hillary Clinton, to ensure a continuity of our Iraq policy. This is the Year in Rebuke.
Clinton something. The campaign years.
So, Mr. Carville.
Yeah.
Place has changed a little bit since you were last here.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. President. you got pictures of Laura in here now.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I see the face of my favorite librarian, I'm reminded of how much I like to read.
Yeah, well, every time I see the face of my beloved Mary, I'm reminded of how much I like to beat the pants off Republicans.
Yeah, of course, you notice we're all wearing coats and ties in here now.
Yeah, yeah, grown-ups in charge, huh?
We like to think so.
Mm.
And we've had the sink completely reporcelain.
Not really necessary to tell me that.
I just want you to know we really have restored honor and dignity to this place.
I appreciate that, Mr. President. You're leaving stains on a lot more garments now. Most of them uniforms.
All right, James, that kind of gets us around it in a kind of disrespectful way to what I called you to talk about.
All right, sir, I'm going to get downright respectful now.
I know you're not formally connected with Hillary's campaign,
per se. No, sir, she got her own team going her own way. I'm keeping busy winning elections overseas.
Same countries where Bob Shrum is busy losing elections?
Yes, sir.
Listen, but I know that for that very reason, you make a good back channel to her campaign, deniable by her, you, me, the whole, what is it that the Jewish people say, the whole meshuga.
Hey, those Jews, huh? They're always saying something. But look, sir, if you need a back channel,
yeah,
might I suggest Larry Craig?
Hey, James, this is deadly serious.
All right.
Future of the kingdom of the Lord depends on it. I need for Hillary to know if she might want to temper or even extemper her rhetorical isms on the campaign trail about the Iraq situation. Just, you know, on off chance that she wins or something, she might find out things look very different when you're sitting where I'm sitting.
Wow. Is the chair that comfortable?
Hey, who's running this meeting, me or Al Franken? Just saying, James. From here, you don't learn about the world the way the media tells it. You learn about it from trusted advisors before they spin the media version.
I know that, sir. I was part of that process. I made some sausages in my time.
Well, maybe Maybe she'll see that the Iraq situation is far more tenuous and fragile than even the media makes it out to be, and that we've got to stay there to prevent a protoclism.
Well,
or maybe she'll see that we've made a lot more good progress than the media gives us credit for, and that we got to stay there to prevent it from turning into bad progress.
In other words, sir, once she sits in that chair, there's no telling what she'll discover that will prove we have to stay in Iraq.
Well, she may even become aware that we make commitments with certain parties that require us to stay there.
Parties? Other governments?
Could be public sector, could be private. I'm sure you understand, James, we're dealing with classified matters here.
Yeah.
I'm only at liberty to tell you enough to persuade you that there's more.
And you're concerned about her campaign rhetoric in that context because? I mean, candidates overpromise and underdeliver all the time. President company accepted, of course.
You don't need to flatter me, James. I'm a lone duck.
Well.
But I know what you're driving at. Mm-hmm. Now, look, even professionals in this business may feel their options are constrained if they've been too specific during the campaign about such and such withdrawing or such and such ending
or such and such.
Yeah. And I'd hate for her to have even that reason to not want to feel obligated to carry on the burden laid on us by history, God, prophecy, whatever you want to call it.
You say, Mr. President, that she might even find it impossible to not continue the war throughout her term in office?
Hey, James, just word to the wise, I don't think she wants to be the one responsible for the consequences that would follow an end to the war any more than I do.
All right, sir. I'll find a way to get the message to her.
If it's all right with you, James, I'd like to feel that I can use this channel from time to time.
Mr. President, I know what it means when the President of the United States has you on speed dial. You can count on my discretion. As far as Mary knows, I'm at Dina DeLuca picking up some Kuribata pork cracklings.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, this year's look back. Fred Thompson, Republican candidate for president, just barely, was greeted the last couple weeks in South Carolina by angry protesters, angry over his disapproval of the public display of the Confederate flag. The protesters, wearing red, white, and blue, carried signs reading, "South Carolina hates Fred Thompson." They're angry because he said at a CNN YouTube debate that the flag is a, quote, symbol of racism for many Americans and should not be flown at public places. John McCain in South Carolina was asked the flag question. "Personally, I see the flag as a symbol of heritage," he said. He lost in South Carolina anyway and later admitted he hadn't believed what he said. Mississippi voters got to choose their state flag in 2001. The Confederate symbol won 65% to 35%. Mississippi is the last state to have the Confederate flag in its state flag. It seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, or it seemed to me when I was preparing my Grammy-nominated CD, Songs Pointed and Pointless, this year. How did he get that plug in? Grammy winners, take note. Grammy voters, take note. That the problem with the flag is not that it represents racism or heritage or history or dedication or anything else. The problem is, it's the loser's flag. Losers don't get to fly their flags. And so, for the record, for the CD, I proposed substituting for their flag an anthem for the losers.
Southland, land of cotton and loam. Losers got to have a place to call home. Secession, well, it's the source of our pride, 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. On our state flag, the X marks the spot
It took bravery to fight for slavery. That's how we're inclined, 'cause we're just the losing kind, always left behind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Jackson, it's Anglo-Saxon no more. Macon, you be shaken when you go to the store. Throughout our states there is this deep divide, 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. We're Johnny Reb and not some hottentot. It took bravery for slavery. You can't be colorblind when you're with the losing kind. This ain't what we designed, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Oh, we love our flag, it says just who we are. Fancy house, we got no fancy car. It takes bravery to forget about slavery. We don't watch, we rewind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Surrender's what we sign, 'cause we're just the losing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude the Year in Rebuke, this special year-end edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, and it'd be just like me being fully recovered if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. The email address for this broadcast and the playlist for the tunes heard hereon are always available at harryshearer.com. Tip of the show, chapeau to the Pittsburgh and San Diego desks. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.